Lightning. And also, you're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. RepublicBroadcasting.org. Hour 2 of the broadcast. Getting the music fade. I'm looking for a vehicle. I'm looking for a ride. I'm not being heard. I'm looking for a party. I'm looking for a sign. I'm looking for the treason that I knew in 65. Beware the savage year of 1984. Well, can you gentlemen hear me?
Yes. I can hear the music.
Okay, I guess we're broadcasting. We just don't have the music faded out.
Gotta stop that song.
Yeah. And Paul, you can hear me as well, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
The music board.
We had a mishap. This fire was. There's an automated fade out version. No point in talking until it ends. Unless we go fade it. And good evening, folks. Welcome to hour two. Sorry, we just had a little technical issue there, but we're in hour two of the broadcast here on this Friday, the 17th of January, 2025. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. Of course, right here on RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, we have a fine roundtable panel tonight. I'm joined by Paul Edward Stevenson, Joe in Tennessee, and Miles in Maine. And so, yeah, Paul definitely has been, TikTok video sharing has been a powerful tool for exposing the atrocities in Gaza. And Israeli government obviously doesn't like that. The Chinese owners are not swayed by, Jewish lobbying. They're not really concerned with the anti-Semitic sort of, which seems to always get leaders of white countries, but Chinese not so much. But on this deal, you're right. I mean, they keep stalling Israeli security cabinet. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, also TikTok has been accused, or the Russians have been accused of, election interference and meddling in Romania through using TikTok as well.
Okay.
I think that this is the first shot in their attempt to go after Musk and X and other platforms. So I think that they're using the Chinese because it makes them a soft, weak target, and then it sets the precedent. So I look at it more that's what's going on here also. And, of course, you have the Jews angry about the coverage of the Palestinian issue, and then you have, the Chinese, they've been so demonized, which is really sad. Like I said, the Russians, whatever they want to throw in, it's a precedent move that's scary, and because watch what they're going to. Now, the beauty is they made this play, but they didn't expect Trump to win. It's just like what's going on when you mentioned the AfD in Germany. Trump must be sitting there going, I dare you to not allow the AFD to get seated if they win, because Trump's not going to allow that. I mean, everything's changed. Trudeau had to leave. You know, so a lot of these things are residual. You know, even Biden's even had to hurry it up with the TikTok deal before Trump gets in. So, you know, I think we have to look at, like I said, some of these things are almost on autopilot. Like I said, really, you think the Germans are going to, like, not allow the AFD to be seated with Trump as president? Same way with Starmer. Who does he think he is? I mean, unless they know something about what they're planning to do with Trump, they're all going to be done. And you know, Trump's the president. You know, the kind of bully pulpit he has, the kind of power he has as president of the United States, especially when they're holding a losing hand anyway. Everything they've been doing, their people hate them. Populism is a huge trend. They've been having to suppress it. They've had to arrest people. They have to use all kinds of Orwellian tactics and financial suppression, you name it. They have a war they're losing. They're in terrible condition. So unless they pull some kind of stunt, it's going to be funny. I mean, I don't know who they think. It's kind of like, you know, that commander in Iraq commanding phantom armies. That's what they're doing. They're in a horrible position. Anyway, sorry.
No, that's all fine. Miles, did you want to comment on this TikTok and what have you?
Yeah, I think Joe's right on. But, you know, I'm just a little bit tired of this in my lifetime. I mean, I'm supposed to be worried about TikTok, but everything the FDA tells me is true, and the EPA is true, and all this other nonsense is true. But yet I'm supposed to worry about TikTok, you know. And wait a minute, you're telling me I got freedom of speech and freedom of this and freedom of that and how this is the greatest country, but how come every time I turn around to use these rights, they disappear? You know, I don't have this freedom of speech. I don't have these things, you know, other than RBN. And by the way, people, please, if you can, donate to RBN. And also, I'm sending out a All Points Bulletin on Robbie from Florida. Robbie, you're missing in action, and if I don't hear from you, I'm going to have Tom come down and do, Tom from Florida, come over there and do a filibuster on you. And you'll just be held hostage to hearing Tom for, like, who knows how long, till he can't breathe anymore. But let's hear from Robbie. But, Richard, those are my thoughts. I mean, you tell me I got all these rights, but I can't listen to TikTok, but I got to listen to FDA, I got to listen to EPA, I got to get a green car, I got to get a, you know, this, and charge it up with electric, and then what do we find? Amazon's charging up their vehicles with diesel fuel. I mean, this is just crazy nonsense. It's just ridiculous stupidity. Why do we have to put up with this as American people that fight these wars, pay these taxes, and build this nation? Why do we have to do all that? Oh, well, we were building this nation, but I guess now we're building it into 15-minute cities and all this other crazy nonsense that nobody ever wanted. Nobody wanted to lose their property rights. Nobody voted for any of this, so why are we doing it? I'll let the rest of the panel comment. Thank you, Richard.
Paul?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll just echo what Joe was saying. And also what Miles is saying, because again, it's this facade of democracy and freedom that we have here, and that we're protecting, and our values and our way of life, and the people like Putin and you know, Xi Jinping and all these other dictators are a threat to. When, you know, when we clearly don't have those things anywhere close to what these people seem to portray. In fact, like you were saying, Joe, you know, if the European Union and our country are already considering censoring and banning TikTok or Elon Musk, because if they don't like, you know, the challenges that are coming, well, rather than listening to them and addressing the concerns, no, they double down. People like Starmer and others repeat this narrative that it's far right. It's far right extremism. And then they want to ban these threats, these interferences into our great democracies and these threats and our freedom. we have to censor them to protect our freedom. And this is the Orwellian aspect of it. They sell it in that way, where, you know, the double standard and the irony is not, you know, acknowledged, that this is what apparently authoritarian countries do. They ban free speech, they ban freedom of press, but that's okay in our country because it's a kind of a given, you know, it's a given. We have free speech, we have freedom of press, but we have some exceptions. We can't be having people like Elon Musk and those evil Russians interfering in our elections. There's never any evidence for the Russian accusation. And in cases like Elon Musk, well, they just don't like his opinions. They don't like where he comes down on this. They don't like the threat to the establishment, for example, well, with everything, but particularly recently when Musk was exposing some of the hypocrisies and the cover-ups and the suppression of the grooming gang. So rather than ever acknowledging everything, they deflect, they double down. And generally speaking, like you say, this populist movement is growing and they're threatened by it. They're trying to hold the fort down, but it's ultimately going to collapse. And because they won't be able to hold it down forever. And, you know, it's like they just keep, through aggression and increased suppression, trying to keep a lid on it all, trying to control the whole thing. But it's a fool's errand. It, you know, the dam will bust eventually. Whether the AfD will be, you know, the first signs of it in one of the major countries in Europe, or whether it's the surging popularity of reform here in the UK, or whether it'll be Marine Le Pen in France, it's coming. It's coming, whether it's, you know, sooner rather than later, but it's coming. And, you know, it's at this stage, it's a big battle, and all they can do is double down and suppress it and censor and smear, and that's all they've got. But the energy of the nations is against them, and they are trying to push back against that, but it's a fool's errand. And they can do it in the short term, but not in the medium or long term.
Well, yeah, and I mean, like, on social media, everyone's been talking about this TikTok ban, and I'm sure many are aware of the actual reasons behind it. It's just in the media and even in alternative media, evidently, where they're trying to, you know, keep it to the threat of Chinese spreading disinformation, having your data, blackmailing you, you know, not, again, mentioning this is all about criticism of Israel. Exposing on video the atrocities in Gaza. And it's only on the surface, you know, that they can't control the narrative on the street level. And that includes the internet street level, you know, social media. But as far as the actual ceasefire, yeah, it's so far Israel's just, you know, acting like, okay, we kind of agreed, but we're going to have to vote and make some decisions, so not quite. Israeli security cabinet moves Gaza ceasefire deal. Well, approves, rather, Gaza ceasefire deal after it's signed in Doha. But still, again, they have all these decisions they have to make still. Despite that Thursday night, the hostage release ceasefire deal, which was to end the war in Gaza, was already signed in Doha. There's still been some final government approval hurdles on the Israeli side. Israel's security cabinet has issued its formal approval, but now the deal moves to the full cabinet for final discussion and vote. Oy vey. Expected to be held before the Jewish Sabbath begins. The cabinet further recommends that, quote, the government approve the proposed outline, unquote. A statement by the Israeli Prime Minister's office indicated the cabinet accepted the deal, quote, after examining all political, security, and humanitarian aspects, and with the understanding that the proposed deal supports the achievement of the war's goals, unquote. There are still expected to be some holdouts, we're hearing. So, you know, we'll see what actually happens there. And well, go ahead, Joe.
Well, I have a mixed feelings about the whole ceasefire thing. I mean, I actually enjoy watching Palestinian resistance fighters blowing up Israeli tanks and sniping Israeli soldiers. So I'm going to miss that. But it's really horrible watching what's happening to the Palestinian civilians. But I've said all along that this, you know, this is a matter. This is the Palestinians really. Hamas is really doing wonders as far as man to man with Israeli soldiers, and that's the way they're going to win, if they're going to win at all. And the real issue here is the Arabs. The Arab governments, I mean, they just destroyed Syria because the Turks wanted a piece of it. And then, you know, the Egyptians, the Jordanians, you know, so I, in a way, I almost want to say, like, I'm tired of hearing about Israel and the Palestinians. The Arabs don't even care about their own brothers. And we, you know, why are we spending all this time on it, you know? I mean, I know it's an injustice. It's horrible. We shouldn't be involved. But really, it's so sickening to me that what Erdogan did, what they did to Assad, you know, the Jordanians sitting on their hands, the Egyptians doing nothing. The only people or any honor are the Houthis, and God bless the Houthis, you know. So I feel sorry for the Palestinians, but sometimes you just got to fight and you got to win on the battlefield, and that's what they're actually doing that. But the Jews can't have a fair fight, so they got to blow up civilians, you know, to make them pay that way. You know, if I can't beat you, I'll kill your kid, kind of an attitude, because that's what the slimy Israelis, that's the way they think. They're insidious. But meanwhile, it really is a shame that the Arab governments have let the Palestinians out to dry, and I hope that Trump can put an end to it just as a humanitarian and end it, you know, because it is a lot of innocent blood. But it's not innocent blood when it's an Israeli soldier, not at all.
Paul?
Well, I totally agree, and you know, this has not worked out well for Israel, this whole campaign. I mean, they're, you know, their enemies are even more zealous in their hatred of Israel. People that were previously supportive of Israel are, you know, just find their, you know, their slaughter of the Palestinians abhorrent, and has turned off, you know, people who were previously supportive of Israel. The IDF is demoralized. They've taken a lot of casualties, and a lot of people have lost limbs and things like that. They've gone into Syria, and they thought that was a great victory, but now that's, you know, they've only opened up a can of worms there, and could end up coming into rhetorically coming into conflict with the Turks. There's a lot of unrest in Egypt and Jordan, because of their treatment of the Palestinians. The Houthis are a problem for them. Hezbollah are still operating, and for Hamas, the victory is to survive, and they're still there. That's a victory for them. It's a defeat, and it's an abject failure for Netanyahu, who promised to destroy Hamas. So. And now you've got this tension, at least on the surface of it, between Trump, who seems to have imposed this peace deal on them, and there's a lot of unrest in Israel. You have those who want the hostages released celebrating this deal, and the more leftist kind of Jews as well. And then you have the hardliners and the vast majority of the population who are disgusted by it and want to see the war continue, because they want to see this promise of Hamas being destroyed being fulfilled. But Israel is in a much worse shape now, economically, militarily, in terms of its global reputation. You have these the ICC, you know, putting, you know, their arrest warrants out for Benjamin Netanyahu and everything else. So their innate aggression and violent nature hasn't done them any favors over the last 18 months, you know.
Miles.
Well, you know, it's an interesting scenario here, though. You know, my opinion is, are we going to let a nation or two, if you're Trump, are you going to let a nation or two, you know, distinguish your legacy? You see what's going on with Biden. Or are you going to take control and say, what do the people that voted for me,
You know, what am I going to do here to preserve this legacy here? Not overseas. Those people don't pay taxes here. Those people don't do anything here but take from this country. And then they send us their invaders. They send us their criminals. Their MS-13. Their Trendyalagua. Their fentanyl. You know, so I guess at the end of the day, who does Trump want to serve? And at the end of the day, Trump, does this help your kids? Does this help your grandkids? Who does this help? Does this help business here? Does it help anything? No, it helps, oh, one, maybe even perhaps two nations. Who does all this help? Who does all this benefit? Who cui bono, who benefits? So I think until Trump looks at that, you know, TikTok is free speech. Like, you know, it's okay if we watch porn, if porn is on and all this, and there's no restraints, trannies and all this crazy stuff. But if you look at TikTok videos, that's like what? Volatile? What is that? You can look at porn, you can look at turning men into women and all this other stuff. But you can't look anywhere for another news source like RBN. What do you do when he says RBN and Alex Jones? Well, they already been after him, but some of these other independent media, what do you do when they come after them like that? So I think Trump has to look and see. Trump has to decide now because, you know, he was elected last time. He had the Congress and the Senate, and for 2 years, every Republican opposed him. I mean, these Republicans are just unconscious. You know, the Democrats are totally out of their mind, but, you know, these Republicans, this Tom Cotton and all these Lindsey Grahams and these crazy people. So who's going to decide Trump's legacy, and who is Trump going to allow? It comes down to that. Who is Trump going to allow to decide his legacy? These people overseas, you know, Zelensky. Who's going to decide Trump's legacy? If, you know, I think Trump's got to look at that and say, you know what? And I think Trump will. I think he's that independent of a thinker, that independent of a businessman, that independent of a guy. I think at the end of the day, Trump's going to say, you're not going to put my name on that.
Well, so far, I mean, he seems to be at odds with this TikTok ban. And again, I mean, no one's daring mention the elephant in the living room. This is about, you know, criticism of and exposure of the war in Gaza. But, you know, because, I mean, we had, over a month ago, I mean, a request for it to be halted by him. But this goes back to something Biden signed in April. Trump looking at how to preserve TikTok in U.S. This came out yesterday. Incoming NatSec advisor. President-elect Donald Trump is exploring ways to preserve TikTok in the United States amid a looming ban, according to Florida Representative Mike Walls, Trump's incoming national security advisor. In an interview with Fox News, host Brett Baier said that such options include an executive order to suspend enforcement of the divestor ban law for 60 or 90 days. TikTok itself is a fantastic platform, said Walls. The algorithm is amazing. We're going to find a way to preserve it, but protect the people's data. And that's the deal that will be in front of us. TikTok's China-based parent company ByteDance is required by federal law to divest its popular app TikTok by January 19, the day before Trump's inauguration, on national security grounds. You know, not because of exposure of Israel's slaughtering of Gazans. No. On national security grounds. Or face a ban in one of its largest markets. I'm sorry, who wanted to comment?
Miles here.
Yeah, I'll make a comment.
Joe.
One of the comments, I think that Trump is not about TikTok, but about the war, the Gaza deal, is I think Trump's smart enough to recognize that both sides are exhausted. I think the Israelis are exhausted, their army's exhausted, their economy's exhausted. I think the Palestinians are exhausted. They're tired of the death. If they just survive it, they win. They're willing to give up the hostages. And I think Trump gives them an excuse. You get the new president, that's an excuse to end it. It's like gives a fig leaf basically for Netanyahu that it's his friend and it's Trump and, you know, to try to appease the hard right. And I think that that's the way Trump's playing. I don't think he's going to, like, his legacy's on the line with this. I think it's just it could be a quickie, like an easy win, because both sides want it to end, and he's an excuse for them to end it. And he's giving them an excuse, and I think they're going to take it. That's what
Wait
I hope.
A minute. I was trying to comment before this comment by Joe, but, you know, sacrificing our First Amendment right just to please whatever Trump wants to do with Israel or whoever is not the solution. I mean, I don't care what Trump wants to do in terms of, you know, preserving this secrecy for Israel and not, you know, showing any of the Palestinian tragedies. It doesn't matter to me. You know, and
I'm
honestly,
I'm not talking about TikTok. I'm just talking about the ceasefire deal. That had nothing to do with what I said with Trump. I don't think Trump wants to suppress TikTok. It's Biden that's rushed it. Trump was going to give it an extension because I think he's looking for a way to not have it happen.
And I think you're right with that, Joe. But you know what? Until these demands, I mean, you know, and let's get back to where Trump offered up this ceasefire and this peace plan and everything like that. And who's standing in the way? Netanyahu. So what is the secret then? Get rid of Netanyahu and bring on the next prime minister or whatever? Because as long as he can be a roadblock, he's going to be one. So, you know, Trump's making miraculous progress in that aspect. You know, and this guy Witkoff, or what's his name, has obviously done a superb job just to even bring it up on the table. I mean, Biden couldn't do this in 4 years, although he's taken credit for it, which is unbelievable. But then maybe they need to say, you know, if you want any of our support, then, you know, Netanyahu, you need to go face your charges in Israel, and then we'll deal with you afterwards. But you've got charges pending, and we don't want to deal with you anymore.
Well, that's it. You see, that gives Trump a way to say if Netanyahu blows the deal, it gives Trump the leverage to say, all right, it was you, Netanyahu, and I'm not going to be punishing Hamas, and you blew the deal. So Netanyahu is in a bit of a corner here, and Trump's putting him in it right away, and I think it's brilliant, tactically.
Yeah, likewise, I can agree to that point. I think Trump has done a brilliant job with it. You know, and that repost by Trump, I mean, that was like, I don't think you would have saw that the first term out of Trump. But you're seeing it now, and I think Trump does have, you know, the interest of everybody in mind there by doing so.
Well, all good points, gentlemen. I see we're at the bottom of the hour break, so stick around. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Have you ever planted a tree for your home garden, orchard, or farm? Well, you'll know how frustrating it is when deer don't stop nibbling at them and you lose years of growth. We have a very economic solution called Tree Savers. It's basically a greenhouse tube at a very economical price. Most of the tubes are $3 to $4, depending on the length that you want. Very easy installation. Check us out at furion.com. Furious Growth, that's furion.com. Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey here with Joe in Tennessee, Miles the main man, and Paul Edward Stevenson. And just on a side note, you know, in addition to all these raging California fires all across the Los Angeles County, raging wildfires, we've had something else happen now up closer to San Francisco area. And this is just absurd. It sounds like something that, I don't know, how does this happen by accident with this kind of timing? This is a disaster. Fire erupts at California battery storage plant. That's right, the lithium batteries. You know, so yeah, if raging wildfires across Los Angeles County weren't enough, California faces another crisis overnight as one of the world's largest battery storage facilities, situated about 100 miles south of San Francisco, caught fire, triggering area-wide evacuations. AP News reported the fire broke out Thursday at the Moss Landing Power Plant, a natural gas-fired generation plant with thousands of lithium batteries for energy storage. Fires involving lithium batteries, as seen with electric vehicles, are notoriously difficult to extinguish and could burn uncontrollably for days. There's no way to sugarcoat it. This is a disaster, is what it is, Monterey County Supervisor Glenn Church told local media. However, Church did not expect the fire to spread outside the perimeter of the plant. And so,
well, can I comment on that, Richard?
Please, Miles.
How come? I'd like to know this. I don't know what this Congress and Senate or Attorney General's office does, but why are there never any of these investigations on the congressional, senatorial, the Attorney General stepping in and investigating what's going on with these food processing plants, which you would think it would be a priority since food is a strategic priority, I would think. No one steps in and wonders why they're destroyed and burned up, and this thing with the Lahana or whatever the heck it is in Hawaii, California, L.A. Where's the congressional, where's the federal investigations? I mean, we just let this Newsom run around, and I call him, everybody calls him New Scum, but, you know, that's like, come on now. I call him Governor Nuisance. But how come nobody comes in from the federal authorities and says, you know, you're interfering here with, you know, the power supply, you know, and the place is set ablaze, and where's the Bureau of Land Management and all these people that would intervene and cause, you know, all types of finger-pointing, but they're nowhere to be found. Where are these people? 130-something food processing plants, which, like I said, is a priority here, especially when you bring in 50 million illegal invaders to eat up the food, take the electricity, use the sewage and septic lines, and all this other stuff. And there's no federal investigation, and you leave it to some, you know, some, I don't know, some entities that don't seem to be able to do the job, and the Congress and Senate don't seem to care, you know, and where is that? And this invisible Republican Senate and Congress, it does nearly next to nothing. I mean, anything the Democrats do is just fine. You know, you never see opposite. I just don't get it. You know, you hear a voice here from Kennedy or Massey or Marjorie Taylor Greene, and one out of three or four or five people. Where is the absolute outrage? As the prices go up, the energy levels rise because this stuff's been destroyed. The food prices rise. You know, where the hell are the Ralph Naders and all these people? Where is everybody that can do any type of anything about it? Because this Congress and Senate is not doing the job. And I don't care if they're Republicans or Democrats. They're not doing the job. And until we get somebody who can do the job, we're never going to get a solution.
Yeah, well, the incompetence in California is off the charts on many categories, in many categories. Local media also noted the fires at the Vistra plant, which Vistra Energy owns, and one of the largest battery storage facilities in the world, boasting a capacity of 750 megawatts and 3,000 megawatt hours, experienced fires in 2021 and 2022. The energy storage facility plays a massive role in stabilizing California's power grid. And so far, they you know, can't tell how much, you know, these fires are going to affect things. But it's another setback for Democrats, they say, California Democrats, in their push for a green utopia in a state that seems to be imploding by the week. Joe, any comments on this from you, sir?
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, your DEI, you're run by a bunch of corrupt Democrats, lefties, and sodomites. You know, I mean, you gotta, you know, there's reasons why, you know, when you look at these civilizations in the past, when you let a bunch of faggots run everything and lesbians, it all falls apart, you know? So the barbarians
right on,
come.
Right on,
and, so, you know, California is, it's just, you know, it's a disaster. And all my friends in California, I've been telling them for years to get out, get the hell out of there because bad stuff's going to happen. Well, bad stuff's happening. You know, I mean, it's and a lot of it is being done on purpose. I mean, I think the fires in L.A., I mean, they left the reservoir dry. The fire trucks were all gone. They didn't have firemen out on overtime. I mean, they're doing a lot of this on purpose. So they hide behind the incompetence, but they, you know, they use these demonic foot soldiers to do this kind of stuff. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hey, Joe. Bingo, Joe. You're right on. But here's, like, back to my point. So where's the federal investigations? You can see that the state government there is corrupt. Where's the oversight? How do we
wait for Trump? You got to get Trump in. I mean, that's part of the Trump revolution. The country's so corrupt. Why do you think we put Trump in? You have to expect
an investigation from
the Biden administration? No, it'll be an investigation.
No, but I expect the Republicans, Congress, and senatorial Republicans.
They haven't even put the fires out yet.
Exactly. So, but where are these? Here's my contention. We've got no horse for us. The Democrats are obtrusive, and the Republicans just send up the white flag and surrender all the time. They never hold anybody responsible.
Yeah, that's why we got Trump, of course, obviously. Yeah, but that's
Trump
why
better,
we're... That's
Trump,
why we...
better kick these, Trump better go in and
oh,
kick
he better,
these Republicans
yeah.
to the end. Yeah, and tell them...
I know, but I mean...
Done.
You
and
know,
I like
but...
what Musk says. If you oppose Trump, we're primarying you.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can't, the Republicans are weak, but with Trump's going to give them the kick in the ass and the leadership to stand up. That's what we're,
well,
that's what we're hoping
that.
For.
Amen to that.
Paul?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the same over here, isn't it? I mean, at least, like, when you have something like the stain on this nation with what's happened with the Pakistani Muslim gangs raping young girls. You know, these people are not invested or motivated in having proper investigations or another inquiry, which is what all the controversy is about over here, because their hands are filthy and they don't want to expose themselves, you know. So they're not going to be motivated to have these types of inquiries because a lot of them, you know, would lose their jobs at the very least and they would be done and they would be, you know, shamed for eternity. And so it's the same over there. They're never going to investigate these things because of the corruption. And like I said, you know, Trump, hopefully Trump's learned from his mistakes in his first term. And also he knows he doesn't have a second term. So he doesn't have to be, you know, walking on eggshells, worried about his second term. He can just let loose and, you know, maybe this the fact that he survived this assassination attempt and that he believes that, you know, it was divine intervention. Well, that's a powerful thing if you believe that, whether it was or not. You believe that you're on a divine mandate. Well, you crack on and you feel protected. And so hopefully, with everything you consider and what I've just said, that, you know, all things considered, he will actually follow through and do what the American people voted him to do. You know, the American people didn't vote for Benjamin Netanyahu in his interests, you know, or Zelensky or, you know, the Biden administration or specifically Tony Blinken's interest. So he needs to just have the courage of his convictions and deliver for the American people who are not interested in fighting wars in the Middle East and are not interested in fighting, in defending the security interests of a country in Europe that they couldn't point out in a map and is the most corrupt country in Europe and maybe probably one of the most corrupt countries in the world.
Well, very well put. I see we have a couple callers on the line. I first want to just remind everyone that RBN does need your support now as much as ever. You go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on that donate page. We have the PayPal available there, and we have the address and donate number available there as well. Of course, you can donate cash if you want to mail that in. You could send that to or a check or money order payable to just the initials RBN. You can mail it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or you could call to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Latest funding updates for RBN. You know, we appreciate everyone who's been helping get that massive server bill taken care of in recent weeks. RBN staff thanks you for that. Right now, RBN is about $2,400 short as of today. To be exact, they're behind $1,275 in service bills and $1,100 in payroll, which isn't that terrible. I mean, it's the holiday slash New Year, but they could really use some extra help, of course. So, yeah, you know, some people like those details who are regular donors. So I just figured I'd give that out. So please, folks, you understand the kind of situation RBN has to deal with from week to week, month to month here. Please help out to keep this going. But let's go to the phones. We have James in Vancouver first up. James, welcome, sir.
Yeah, I just heard about that lithium fire in San Francisco. That's a bad deal because for one car, Tesla, to start on fire, takes 49,000 gallons of water to cool it off. So did this fire happen at a whole factory of these things? Is that, I guess that right? More than one battery, right?
Yeah, a big plant, yeah.
Oh, God.
Battery storage plant.
Obviously, the fire is moving north. It was in L.A., and now it's going up the coast, which I sort of predicted. I think I mentioned it on another show, but the whole damn West Coast, I figure they're going to try to burn down. So one more thing. The guy that designed the Vietnam War was the Rand Corporation, and I wouldn't be surprised if somebody like the Rand Corporation has designed all the rest of this stuff that we're having to go through now. So that's my comment. I'll let you guys get on with the show. Thanks again.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, James. Bye. And next we have Bill in Kentucky. Bill, welcome. What's on your mind, sir?
Good evening. There is a precedent about, you know, we're talking about the Trump inauguration being moved indoors. Well, I'll tell you what, in the 1840s, William Henry Harrison, he was in office only a month. He died. He had a big bombastic type inauguration outside. I think it was either rain or snow. I don't remember which, but really, really cold. And then not long after that, he caught pneumonia and died. And so, I mean, even without potential terrorism or any other factor, that I could see that being one of the reasons they moved that indoors. Hello?
Okay. Miles, would you like to comment?
Well, yeah, I wanted to go back to James' call. You know, we have these fire trucks in L.A. that are, you know, not being used, and inoperable water lines and hydrants, so on and so forth. And then we have fire trucks being sent to the Ukraine. Well, who is this that they could take taxpayer-funded fire trucks and just ship them off wherever the hell they want on the local level? On the local level. Raise your taxes to buy a fire truck and then just ship it off and give it away. Who the hell does that? Who gets that authority?
Joe?
Well, she's a communist. I mean, you have a communist mayor there, but it's just a representative of the establishment Democrats that rule Los Angeles and California. California is a one-party state. It's basically, it's almost Stalinist. I mean, it's unbelievable, not only the corruption, but the, you know, just the politicians. If you're a Democrat, you get away with whatever you want, and it's just sick. Right. It's really sick out there, and people should just leave.
So no,
either leave or go to vigilantism.
Exactly. So no one's being charged with a crime or misappropriation of taxpayer funds. All the rules are out the window, but the little Joe Blow guy has got to follow every single law to the letter of the law, to the period of the law, to the exclamation mark in the law. But these people can take your taxpayer money and just do whatever and send it overseas. Not even send it to the people next, you know, that might need it in Oakland, California or San Diego. Send it to some people that, you know, are continents away, just at your whim. I mean, until these people are held accountable, we're never going to get rid of this stuff. And I hope Trump's going to come in and bring that accountability. I hope that Kash Patel just really gets out there and kicks some ass state by state. And that's all I can say, because until we do that, when these people can just give money away and Biden can take, you know, neglect the people in Tennessee and North Carolina with the hurricane and take $1 billion to Africa, I mean, come on. You know, and
well,
FEMA
I'd like,
comes up and,
no, I'd like
FEMA
to say one
up,
thing.
Go right ahead.
I mean, you can wait for Kash Patel and Trump, and I think they're going to do a lot. But we have to take a page from, like, what the left. Now, you have communist Democrats in California. I want to give you an example of what they do. Remember Maxine Waters, when she didn't like the Trump election? What did she say?
Yep.
She said, get in their face. If you see them at dinner, go right up to them. Well, I got a message to the right. I got a message to Republicans in California. Get in their face. Vigilantism. Or if they're having dinner, go dump a beer on them or spit in their face or push them or whatever. Yep. But that's what, I mean, that's what the Democrat communists understand, okay? That's what they told their people to do. That's what you got to do to them. I don't understand it. I mean, I hear about this stuff, that, like in England with the Pakistani rape gangs. You try that around me, I'm going to just kill somebody. I'm not going to just wait for the police. I don't understand why none of the British guys hunted those Pakistanis down. British people are big. They're strong. Why did they just let that? Wasn't there a father that was outraged that would just go out and kick somebody's ass?
Joe,
I don't understand
it. Before. Joe, you said it way back. At the beginning of the show, they've been demasculinized.
I actually
said that as well. I condemned the man because I said, you know, as much as it's a stain on the establishment in this country, it's also a stain on the man of this country. Because like you said, if my daughter or my niece or my niece's friend or something, if I know they're involved with this, there's going to be a mess. Now, whether I survive that mess, I don't know. I mean, whether literally I end up dead or in bad shape or in prison, but there's going to be a mess. And it's going to be in the media. None of this happened. You know, it's staggering. This has been going on for decades. And that there hasn't been one incident where there was a group of guys up north got together and went into one of these houses and tried to deal with these guys. Now, if you go to the police and they're saying, well, we're not interested, we're not going to call racist, well, aren't you going to defend your young girls? And I actually think that a nation that cannot and will not defend its children, particularly young girls, I don't even think it's a nation that deserves to survive, quite frankly.
Yep, I think you're right there, Paul. We can't defend
I'll tell
our
you what,
vulnerable.
This would not have happened. This would not have happened where I grew up in Northern Ireland, I can tell you that. Not for a second. Not for 1 minute. Maybe it's changed. I don't know. The young generation is so brainwashed, I don't know. But this wouldn't. There's no way. In fact, if you hear about this, you hear about it happening in England and Wales and Scotland. You never hear it happen, and you never hear Northern Ireland mentioned.
No, they're tough.
Go ahead, Joe.
What about like the soccer hooligan type British? I mean, why aren't they? Why aren't they like kicking these people's ass? I just don't get it.
They're all scared. They're all scared, but like I said, considering how sensitive these people are to be, you know, to the racism accusations, if you took a bunch of lads around there, or even went yourself and dealt with a couple of these guys, they would probably go to the police, and you'd be accused of being a racist, and you're attacking these Pakistani guys because you're racist. But the fact of the matter is, it would make the headlines, because then you would have an opportunity to say, no, it's nothing to do with racism. These guys are raping my niece or my niece's friend or whatever, and it's going to get exposure. Now, maybe they suppressed it so heavily, but I don't think they have the ability to suppress it that heavily. Where, like I said, you would cause a mess. You know, if you go in and you get stabbed and you end up in hospital or whatever, and some guy ends up where he's killed or he's almost killed or whatever, in the process of approaching this issue in light of the fact that the authorities refuse to do what they're there to do, it's going to make the news. It's going to make headlines. But nothing, not once. I mean, for what? If you cannot defend, if you're not prepared to die and go and confront this, you know, for your young girls, well, what sort of a country is that?
Exactly.
I totally agree with you. I just don't get it.
It's a lack of masculinity, and I think it is that, you know. And but I'm still disappointed, though, because I kind of expect that from the middle classes and sort of, you know, the London-type men who are just feminine generally. Yeah, ironically, yeah. A lot of these people make up the British establishment who are always throwing their weight around. But, you know, they're all feminine. A lot of them are homosexuals. But they're very aggressive. But they've never been in a bar fight. They've never been in a fight at school. You know, they've never confronted anybody. But I'm disappointed in the Northerners, because you would expect more from some of the sort of more tougher Northern working class guys, where a lot of this took place up in Yorkshire and Rotherham and all these Northern towns. Where were they?
I don't know.
Oh,
yeah.
I think you guys over in Ireland, many years back scared the shh out of them, and now they don't know how to react anymore.
Well, it was a bunch of farmers that made up the provisional IRA, and they sacrificed their lives and were prepared to die to fight the tyranny of the British establishment. But you don't have that mindset in England.
Yes, that's history. Yeah, good. Yeah, that was some sensational
but
history.
Look what's happening to Ireland, though. Now they're because it's not the British that are destroying Ireland; it's the Jews with the EU and the immigration. Ireland, the women in Ireland are being raped by Africans.
The IRA is not doing anything. Yeah, but in Northern Ireland, none of this stuff is happening to the same extent. Because guess what? The estate agents have been threatened by particularly the loyalist paramilitaries that still exist.
Does the IRA still exist? That was a lot of fun.
Thanks for being here, Joe. We'll definitely have to do it again sooner
Richard.
Than later.
Thanks, Miles, Paul. Great.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, guys.
Excellent. Thanks,
Paul. Nice hearing you. Yeah. Absolutely. Likewise, Miles, Paul, Joe, excellent all around. Enjoy your weekends, gentlemen. And Paul, yeah, look forward to your show, brother, Sunday. Last Man Standing, 1 Central Time here in the U.S.
Yeah, I'll
PM.
Be live Sunday.
Excellent, Sunday. Yeah, we'll be live. He will be live. So, folks, please support RBN. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on that donate page so we will speak again soon. Until then, transcend the construct. Regards.
Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.